Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 2 weeks ago yesterday, another major metro subway derailment. And since then, multiple investigations initiated. Even more questions raised about metro subway safety and accountability. Tonight, we get the latest on where the safety investigations are and inspections and, of course, what is next. My guest is Dr. David Meyer, CEO of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. Also want to hear from you tonight. What do you think? Do you trust the metro subway system? Would you ride it? Are you concerned about what you're hearing post-derailment? Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for joining us. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Absolutely. So before I get into the meat of this discussion, I do want to kind of get an update on the latest bit of information regarding where Metro is right now regarding the 7,000 series subway trains that were removed after the October 12th derailment.
Sure. Well, you certainly know that on Sunday evening, October 17th, we issued an order requiring that those 7,000 series cars be removed from revenue passenger service as a result of special inspection findings. At that time, Metro had inspected about half of the 7,000 series fleet and was finding a number of non-conformances, a number of defects. We can talk more about what that means in a bit. But as of today, Metro has finished doing the special inspections on all of the 7,000 series cars and is working on what we ordered, a plan to detect and monitor the anomaly, the problem that's been found as a result of this investigation.
Mm-hmm. The thing that there was a meeting also, I believe it was on yesterday or earlier or the day before, and you'll have to correct me, but what came out of that meeting regarding this issue with the specific safety issues?
The meeting that you may be referring to was one of our regular public meetings on Tuesday afternoon, where we provided an update on a whole variety of issues and programs. We do communicate, though, frequently, certainly every day, with Metro on this and a variety of other safety issues. So we're connected and plugged into Metro in a whole variety of ways. And I think you understand, but it bears repeating to make sure everybody gets it, that the WMSC, the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission, we have Metro Rail in our title, but we are fully functioning independently as an agency separate from Metro. So we are an oversight entity that is not connected with or a part of Metro.
Okay. So which brings me to my next question. And I'm sure you are familiar with what happened during the NTSB press conference approximately 2 weeks ago. And so I wanted to play something that was said during the press conference, and then I'd like for you to react on the other side if you can.
Sure.
We were notified of that during this investigation. We were not notified prior to this investigation. We are fortunate that no fatalities or serious injuries occurred as a result of any of these derailments.
Of course, you recognize the voice of NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy. She was revealing that there had been some 52 derailments of the new 7,000 series Metro trains since 2017, and Metro officials did not tell the NTSB about any of them. What is your reaction to that? That news obviously coming after this most recent derailment, but even in that, it remains disturbing.
Sure. And what Chair Homendy was talking about there is Metro's, before the derailment, Metro's 90-day routine inspections of the 7000 series axles. And the failures that she was talking about had occurred, they weren't necessarily derailments, but they were failures that were found during those routine inspections. There were 2 to 5 inspection failures in each of 2017, 18, 19, and 20. And then in 2021, before the derailment, the number really peaked, and there were a number of inspection failures. Again, not derailments, but failures of that were detected on inspections, regular inspections of the equipment. The NTSB learned about that at the same time as the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission over the weekend on October 16th and 17th. And it was very concerning for the WMSC that this was the first time we were hearing about these inspection failures.
Mm-hmm. Why were you concerned? Why was it so concerning to you? I mean, beyond just the obvious, did you expect or would you expect that whether it was 52 or 2 to be alerted, to be notified that these things were happening, whether these things were happening in 2017 or 2021 or any time in between?
Had it been a couple failures, I probably wouldn't expect to be aware of them. But since the number of failures was larger than that and had exhibited a pretty striking increase at the beginning of 2021, yes, I would expect to know about them for a few reasons. One, you know, we have meetings every other week with our experts and their experts to talk about rail car safety. And we have an opportunity for anyone to speak up and tell us about safety issues and concerns. So it is concerning that it wasn't brought up there. Plus, just last month, we published a safety audit of passenger rail cars. And there were plenty of opportunities during that audit for Metro to disclose that it was working on this important safety issue. And the issue specifically is that the wheels are working their way outward on the axle. And you don't have to be a rail expert to understand that if the wheels are not at the set distance, it can lead to a derailment. So definitely a concern for us.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about subway safety with the Metro system here in the DMV. Certainly there has been a derailment on October 12th. No one was hurt, but this is just the latest in a series of incidents that have raised questions, raised safety concerns. I want to hear from you tonight. If you ride the subway, if you don't ride the subway, are you concerned about it? Do you trust the subway? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My guest tonight is Dr. David Meyer, CEO of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. With all of the information that we have heard over the past several weeks, from an outsider's point of view, based on what you are sharing with us, why, and have you asked why you were not the commission, why the commission was not notified, why the NTSB was not notified?
I don't know that I have an answer to that question. We do communicate, like I said, we communicate at every level frequently with Metro. That's from the general manager and the chief safety officer on down to program and department heads and frontline workers. So I don't know that I have a good answer for that. I would tell you that as Metro's independent safety watchdog, we have found safety issues that maybe Metro didn't even know about. This is not one of them, but at Tuesday's public meeting, we talked about a runaway train that followed a disabled train incident that we detected and required Metro to report to us because for whatever reason, Metro hadn't detected it. So we pay very, very close attention both to Metro's radio communications and data systems so that we can learn about safety events. And we also monitor social media. At Tuesday's meeting, we talked about a wrong side door opening at Rhode Island Avenue Station that occurred back, I believe it was in June, that we found out about through social media monitoring. So, for your listeners out there, if you have concerns, or if you see something that concerns you in the system, send us an email, send us a tweet. We pay attention.
Okay, so what is your email and Twitter handle so that we can get that information out there before I go to the phone?
I tell you what, let me get it for you, and I'll get it in just a few minutes, if you don't mind. I don't have it right in front of me. I should have.
Well, that's quite all right. Please get it, and we'll make sure that we post that on our website before 8:30 this evening. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Suzanne, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Suzanne. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's a culture in Metro workers where they don't want to report about stuff happening, bad things happening, so they don't do it for fear of getting in trouble or getting fired or penalized. It just seems like, there should be some avenue for them to report stuff without feeling like they're going to get reprimanded,
Good question, Suzanne. Thank you for that. Dr. Meyer?
I think that all transit properties are working on encouraging employees to report stuff. I agree with your caller. Workers can be a little reluctant to speak up, but there are opportunities for workers to speak up. They can reach out to the internal safety department, or they can reach out to us. And I now have in front of me our email address and Twitter handle whenever you'd like me to give that.
Sure, go right ahead. But I do want to follow up on the comment that you were making. Go right ahead, please.
Sure. So if you want to send us an email, we're on safetyconcerns, with an S at the end, safetyconcerns@wmsc.gov, safetyconcerns@wmsc.gov. And our handle is @MetroRailSafety on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we do monitor those channels.
You say safety concerns. You said
That's correct. Safetyconcerns. @WMSC.gov.
Mm-hmm. And the Twitter handle?
@MetroRailSafety. @MetroRailSafety is our handle on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Rail Safety. Okay. So let's be flat-footed and plain-spoken, because I think if we're not doing our listeners the kind of service that this program demands. And I think that what Suzanne was saying is that Metro is a huge operation, and there have been reports with news organizations over the past couple of weeks that what she is suggesting is more than a suggestion, that it is indeed true that the reason that the commission, that the NTSB and other powers that be did not get the reports about the 52 issues and any other issues that may have the potential to cause problems is because no one wants to raise their hand and speak up and say there is a problem. And honestly, Mr. Meyer, does someone have to get hurt or die again for this for this culture to change, if indeed that is the case?
Well, we're certainly doing everything we know how to do to prevent that. But I have to agree with you and your caller. We have seen in our work with Metro, it's not universal throughout the organization, but we do see some reluctance to talk to us, sometimes because frontline workers may not feel comfortable, and sometimes because managers may direct them not to speak with us. But that said, I am pleased that is not universal throughout the organization. Like you said, it's a big organization. We have conversations with folks in Metro every single day, and we learn important information from that. I wish everybody in the organization felt comfortable speaking to us, but that's still a work in progress.
Should somebody be fired?
Well, I'm not going to get into to personnel issues. You know, I think it's important to focus on the long game of continuous safety improvement and not think about firing people or disciplining people. I mean, I recognize that Metro's got to do that from time to time, but that's not really my place to say.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Metro Rail safety in the wake of a derailment earlier this month. Isa in D.C., Larry in D.C., Shelton in Bowie. I'd like for you to stay on the line. I want to hear what you have to say. I promise you will hear the program on the phone, so please do not hang up. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and on 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about subway safety on the Metro Rail system. This comes after a derailment on October 12th, just 2 weeks ago. No one was hurt, but certainly raising concerns about safety and accountability with the system. My guest is Dr. David Meyer, CEO of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your call. Larry, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Larry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Go right ahead, please.
I'm pretty sure that there should have been some type of service bulletin put out from the manufacturer of the train. I'm pretty sure that Metro is not the only one running the train. So I'm wondering, did somebody get a service bulletin and not do anything with it, didn't know what to do with it? I can't figure that out. I mean, I used to work on the D.C. Circulators, and there were service bulletins put out. And if you didn't know what you was doing, then they would send somebody out from Van Hool or whoever to help you work on them. So I'm pretty sure that the industry that built these trains, this couldn't be the first ones that this has happened to.
Thank you for that, Larry. Your thoughts about that, Mr. Meyer?
So I'd say one thing's a little different between operating buses and operating trains. Buses are much closer to off-the-shelf items than trains. Train cars are built to the specifications of each individual rail system operator. So these trains are unique. There's nobody else who's got a 7000 series train. That said, the specific problem we're talking about is between the axle and the wheel. And all trains involve axles and wheels. So the situation is that the design is fairly unique to Metro. I'm not aware of any service bulletins that were issued. That said, I'm absolutely confident the NTSB investigation, with both the builder of the car as well as Metro as parties to their investigation, will certainly be exploring maintenance, inspection, and all those related issues.
Okay. Larry, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ease up, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Isa, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
My question for Dr. Myers is, what power does the commission have to enforce regulations on the Metro system, since they are independent? And I understand that you have, you know, meetings weekly, but what influence do you have to make sure that they are disclosing things to you, because it seems like, you know, it could very easily be kind of a don't ask, don't tell situation if there are no consequences.
That's a really good question. We are not a toothless tiger. We do have pretty vast powers, a real toolbox of authorities. You know, obviously, we were the ones that ordered these trains out of service. So that's a demonstration of the muscle that we can flex. We have other kinds of authorities to penalize, to fine, or to otherwise cite Metro if necessary. I didn't have a moment's thought that Metro would defy our order and not take the cars out of service, but we certainly would have been able to exact a range of penalties had they done so. We can enforce corrective action plans if necessary, and we can even direct Metro to spend safety dollars if they're not spending safety dollars. So we do have quite a range of tools at our disposal.
Okay.
Isa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shelton, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Shelton. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've been noticing in the news. I feel that though, we just feel the manager need to be fired or resign, and also the board members feel as though they don't need to answer any question. Do they realize they work for the people, not themselves?
Your thoughts about that, Mr. Meyer?
Well, I certainly understand the caller's sentiment. That said, you know, like I said, Metro's an independent organization, so Metro's board members are not my board members, and Mr. Wiedefeld certainly doesn't work for me. So I think, you know, I think I'll leave that as a comment rather than try to answer it.
Okay. Shelton, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Metro Rail's safety in the wake of a derailment earlier this month on October 12th. And for those of you who may have questions about that or comments, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. So you mentioned that you do, as an independent organization, an oversight organization, have the power to penalize Metro. What might a penalty look like?
Well, that's a good question too. I suspect, you know, we have 30 sister agencies around the country, even though state safety oversight of rail systems is a little bit obscure, I think, for most people. And all of our sister agencies have these kinds of powers and do on occasion use these kinds of enforcement authorities. For instance, our sister agency in California is the California Public Utilities Commission. And a couple of years ago, they did issue a fairly substantial fine. I believe it was just over $1 million following a two fatal train collision. And so we certainly keep that in mind and are mindful of that, but I'm not trying to imply that we're on the brink of anything like that.
202-319-7810, Wilma, calling from Beltsville. Wilma, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'd like to know, for as long as the Metro has been in operation outside of 9/11, where are the Metro policemen?
What
all
do you
the
mean?
Stuff that go on in the station, you never see any policemen around.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure that is within the purview of the commission. Although I'll have Mr. Meyer speak to that himself.
Harold, crime and policing per se are not really within our lane. We do pay attention to the Metro Police Department as far as they are first responders to safety events, but crime prevention is a security thing and not in our safety purview.
Yeah. Wilma,
certainly important, just doesn't happen to be in our lane.
Yeah, and Wilma, I would certainly suggest that is an issue that would probably be better addressed either with the Metro Police itself or with the board, if you have a question that could be addressed directly to some of the public meetings, but would not be, you know, part of today's conversation as we are speaking specifically about Metro Rail safety. But thank you so much for listening and calling in. I do want to go back to the notification piece, because this keeps sticking in my craw, and it is, to me, Nixonian in its, I just, did anyone in this meeting or any meetings since the 12th ask, why didn't we know about this? You know, what did you know, and when did you know it? Whether it was, you know, the general manager, or anyone, did anyone in charge say, ask the obvious question, why didn't we know about this?
Well, I believe from what I've heard and read that the Metro Board, as well as the NTSB, want to get to the bottom of that as much as you and I do. But I'll tell you that our focus really, since the derailment and particularly since the special investigations special inspections that were started in the days following the derailment, our focus really has been laser focused on safety of the system. What do we need to do to make it safe day to day, and then how to work with Metro Rail to comply with the order and prepare a plan to return those cars safely to service. So I don't want to minimize the importance of the who knew what when kinds of questions, but I think they're more the province of the NTSB investigation than they are our day-to-day safety oversight of the system. Not unimportant, just not the laser focus right now on maintaining safety in the system.
So what is, from your perspective, now as it relates to the day-to-day, what is your plan / responsibility to get these cars back? Is that, are you waiting to hear from Metro as to how this would be done, or is this something that you were telling them?
So a little of both, I think. Our order issued that Sunday evening requires Metro, in conjunction with the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission, to develop a plan for the detection and prevention of these anomalies and provide for the safe return of each of the 7,000 series rail cars. So we are speaking to, I know that Metro is working on a plan that involves a lot of different components, to include statistical analysis, road testing of 7,000 series cars, and a clear way forward for returning the cars to service. As Metro works on its plan, they're doing what we required, to consult with us and to develop that plan in conjunction with us. So every day of the week, we are working together and we're paying attention to what Metro is doing to develop that plan.
Is there a deadline for that? Because as it stands now, there are, 748 7,000 series cars?
Correct.
Right, that have been removed and that remain off the rails, no pun intended. And and so as a result, service has been significantly slowed, significantly reduced. And we know that there has been reporting that they wanted to get some of those cars, if not all of them, back by the end of the month. Well, the end of the month is this weekend. Do you have any sense of confidence that is going to happen, or are we really looking at something happening next month?
So I think I would probably join all the Metro Rail, the other Metro Rail riders in your office, in your audience, by saying, you know, I want to see those cars back in service as soon as it's safe to put them in service. I'm eager to ride a 7,000 series car again, just like a lot of people are. That said, you know, our order is 100% focused on safety. There's no deadline in our order whatsoever. So we're not artificially requiring Metro to work against a ticking clock. We're simply interested in Metro's plan to do the work it needs to do to return the cars safely to service.
Do you ride the Metro, Mr. Meyer? Dr. Meyer?
I do. You know, like a lot of people, I've been working at home for for quite a while, so I don't ride as much as I used to, but I was riding the weekend that our order was issued. I rode both before the order was issued, and I took some trips on Monday after the order was issued. So I'm definitely a customer, too.
Do you have any trepidation about riding Metro in the wake of the October 12th incident?
I might be a slightly more knowledgeable rider than the average bear, so I definitely pay attention to all the sights and sounds as I ride Metro, but I don't hesitate to board a train and go where I need to go.
Mm-hmm. But you also own a car, I would imagine, or some kind of vehicle.
Well, you know, actually, I'd love to tell you, but I don't own a car. I didn't, but was totally dependent on public transportation. But during the pandemic, I have bought a car.
So, and this is why I ask, because I do as well. I am not a rider of the subway. As a matter of fact, the last time I was on the subway was on Election Day, no, Inauguration Day in 2017,
mm-hmm.
Covering the Trump inauguration. So it's been a long time since I've been on the subway. But this is why I mentioned that. I compare the subway cars to my own, and this is just kind of an analogy. When the light comes on, I take it to the shop. You know, the engine light comes on, or the whatever light comes on, or I hear something or feel something. And like you said, you know, you're a little more knowledgeable than the average bear, and I would imagine that those who drive or drive the trains are even more knowledgeable than the average bear. And so I just wonder, do you believe that Metro has the capacity, the wherewithal, the resources to not under duress that was caused after October 12th, but just the day-to-day that, like you said, your commission is charged with doing, with making sure that when a screw is loose or falls off, that they can pull the train car off the rail and make sure that it does what it's supposed to do to make people safe?
You know, sometimes I hear Metro employees kind of spoken of in disparaging terms, and I do want to say that as I meet those employees and as our staff talk with them, Metro does have a number of employees who have deep expertise and experience at doing their jobs, whether that's the job of a rail controller issuing movement instructions to trains or a technician maintaining the rail cars. So I do believe Metro has the capability to safely operate the system. I'd have to be taking action if I didn't think that. That said, I do think our order sidelining the 7,000s provides an opportunity for them to take a deep breath and think very carefully about this issue and solve it properly. And I think that's what's happening.
And don't misunderstand my question. I know Metro Rail employees, you know, from, you know, those who are in the, you know, the kiosks to officers and the like. Those aren't the folks I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who are managing the culture, as I believe Suzanne said earlier. But I'm also talking about the resources, because as we've heard, you know, Metro's problems have often been synonymous with money and the financial resources, and it's been hamstrung by these issues, you know, over the many, many years. So I'm not talking about whether or not the, mm-hmm. you know, the drivers and the technicians and the mechanics have the knowledge to do it. I know that. Those aren't the folks I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about whether or not if they see something and they say something, will they be, number one, paid attention to? And if they are paid attention to, does Metro have the management resources and the cultural resources and the financial resources to beyond paying attention to those people? To say, yes, it's time to pull these things off because per our phone call and some of the reporting that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, there are people who doubt that, you know, that's a healthy culture.
So in any large organization, and Metro is no exception, I think you're going to find cultural differences. And I think that if you talk to safety officials at Metro, I think they would tell you that the culture is not uniformly where it needs to be. And that's something that we push on. And, you know, I encouraged your listeners, more than a few of whom I bet are Metro Rail employees, if you have a safety concern and you feel it isn't getting heard, you know, we're here to listen to you. And it has happened more than once that when we hear safety concerns, we pass them along and plug them into the right place in Metro, and we get things straightened out. So I think we're doing our part to help those leaders in Metro bring the culture to where it needs to be. I think we would all agree it isn't perfect, but you know, in the world of safety, we really strive for, it's a buzzword and it bugs people, but we strive for continuous improvement. And sometimes we say that, you know, safety is the journey. It isn't necessarily something you have and you achieve on any particular day.
How would you, if you had the power to wave your magic safety wand, and as an oversight organization, maybe you do, but how do you change, you know, culture? Is that something that, as it relates to the day-to-day, is that part of something that you would be looking into? Is that something that may be part of a report, something that you may be raising in the next meeting? Is that something that isn't just in the back of your mind, but something that you will be discussing?
Well, it is a topic that we have discussed, particularly in 2020. We published an audit, a safety audit, of the Rail Operations Control Center, and we were pretty harsh in calling out some cultural issues there. And I'm very pleased to see that you know, like everything, it's not perfect, but our work there and our oversight, which didn't end in 2020, it's continuing, is driving change and is improving culture. And I know from my interactions with the safety department and others within the Metro organization, there's a real desire and a plan to use some of the victories that have improved culture in the Operations Control Center to roll those out and make cultural improvements elsewhere in the system. So yes, it's certainly something that we're paying attention to, and if it's appropriate, we'll write further reports about. But I don't have to tell you, Harold, that if you tell somebody not to operate 7,000 series cars, you can easily measure the impact of that immediately. And culture is a little more elusive, and it's not as easy to assess, and it's challenging to change. But I know that we're nudging, we're pushing, and we're directing, and Metro is also.
But take me back, because you just said something that gave me pause, and I do seem to remember the issue with the control center issues, and that is and you just said that was a cultural, I mean, certainly it wasn't just an issue of culture, but give me an example of what was done to change that. You said you were pretty harsh in the criticism, but were you also firm in how operations were changed? Because I really think that having had my hand very briefly at working in in governmental operations, it is so much more difficult to manage people than it is to manage things. You can put a thing in a corner, and as long as no one messes with it, it'll be in the corner in the morning if you put it in the corner at night. But if you put people in the corner, well, people aren't going to sit still. But if you do it the right way, you can mobilize, inspire, and move people to greatness. And so give me an example of how the culture for the control centers were changed.
Well, first of all, I would say that the control center itself is under new leadership. To Metro's credit, they reached out and hired an individual from the world of air traffic control who has a lot of experience in managing facilities like this. And you know, part of the cultural expectations at the time of our audit in 2020, some of the expectation was that controllers didn't always follow written procedures to make train movements and to restore electrical power and to do other things that could have really huge safety implications. And so with leadership now setting a bit of a different tone, and with the environment not being as punitive and as it used to be, I think the culture is coming along there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think it's perfect, mm-hmm. but I will tell you that we told Metro they needed to make changes, and they did. Yeah. And I shouldn't even say it in past tense. They made changes, and they continue to make changes.
Yeah. So what are the next steps as it relates to outside of, you know, waiting for some final reports from Metro to your office about the 7,000 series trains? And then I'm sure we still need to wait to hear from, what, the NTSB as well?
Yes and no. I mean, there's no question the NTSB, their investigation's important. They're going to work to determine, as is their role, the cause of the derailment, the cause of the wheel axle anomalies, and that's important stuff, and we will pay very close attention and be guided by it. But the reality is it's an engineering problem as to how rapidly this defect, this anomaly is occurring and how rapidly it's changing. And we don't necessarily have to understand, I know this is a little bit of a paradox, but we don't necessarily have to wait to understand the cause to understand the engineering parameters of the anomaly and its rate of change, and use that information to get the 7Ks back in passenger service.
Hmm. Oh, and something that you said in the very beginning of the conversation, and I would, before we wrap up in the next 3 minutes or so, yes, please do explain. We were talking about the 52, I said derailments, these were 52 anomalies, incidents regarding the 7,000 series trains since 2017, and you said that you would like to give a better explanation of that. Can you give us a little more understanding of specifically what NTSB Chair Jennifer Hammondy was explaining?
Well, I think maybe it'll help the audience to understand that those failures were not necessarily in-service failures. They weren't derailments. They were failures that were found, or inspection failures, anomalies that were found during 90-day inspections of the 7,000 series cars. There's a series of defined inspections to include a 90-day inspection of the cars, and that's where these failures, these anomalies were found. And so part of the standard engineering approach, when you find what appears to be a progressive failure, a failure that's getting worse over time, is one of the things you can do is you can adjust the inspection interval so you're monitoring for this failure much more frequently than you would be otherwise. So I expect that in Metro's plan to bring the 7Ks, the 7,000 series cars, back into passenger service, a key part of that plan is going to be data analysis and road testing of the 7Ks case that supports an appropriate inspection interval to make sure that the cars remain safe while they're in service.
So then let me ask you something here. Is it possible that this issue is problematic about the 7000 series and not about the reporting or the inspection? Is it possible that there is something wrong with the 7000 series that heretofore we did not know?
Well, the anomaly that we're looking at is this may or may not provide comfort, but it's located in the axles and the wheels. So it's not something systemic that affects every aspect of the car. It does seem to be something that's occurring in the wheels and the axle, but you know, like I said, understanding the cause will be something that takes time, and it could be pretty complex. It could have to do with the interaction of the wheels, and it could be something that is unique in the Metro Rail environment, or you know, either operationally or just the anatomy of the track and the switches. So I'm not ready to say that there's, and I don't expect to be saying that there's just simply something that's irretrievably wrong with the 7Ks. I think by and large, they're very solid cars. We just have to get a handle on what this issue is and understand how to make it safe and keep it safe.
Let us hope so. And let us hope that we don't see anything severe happening in the future. Dr. David Meyer, CEO of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and I'm sure we will continue to be in touch.
Thanks, I hope so.
Sure. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, October 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.